I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 22. You guys, I got to tell you something's on my heart from first hour. Boy, I'm going to get way off track here. But at the very end of my message, I said to everybody, your story matters. Your unique story matters. And I asked people, do you believe your story matters? And a person came up to me at the end who has no clue the impact that they have had on so many people here who have come here, both believers and not believers. And they said to me, Neil, I don't really believe my story matters. And just started weeping. And I want to just change my whole message right now and say to you, your story matters. There is a God in heaven. When you come to this table later, there's a God in heaven that actually died for you. When later we see this bread broken and little crumbs falling to the ground, it's because there is a God in heaven who cares enough about you, and your story actually matters. Do you believe, Todd, your story matters? Tell me you do today. Thank you. Do you believe, Laren, that your story matters? Tell me you do today. Okay, I'm going to get back to my sermon. You know, you got to hear that because you won't hear the rest of this sermon if you don't believe your story matters. So you get to Acts 21 through 28, and I'm going to summarize six or seven chapters for you this way. It's the story of the sufferings of Paul as he goes out and tells his story. And as he tells his story, more sufferings happen. And when more sufferings happen, he tells his story even more. And it's like Paul has just got this one thing on his mind. He's got to tell his story about how Jesus blew up, turned around, recaptured, put back together his life. Okay, that's it. That's Acts 21 through 28, okay? Now, we got a guy here, his name is John Boynton. How many know John Boynton? He's an elder here. John Boynton has this little phrase that if you know John, you've probably heard this. I gave him a quote like he's a professional here today. Let's get the John Boynton quote up there. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. How many have heard John say that? Oh, look at this, man. John, you're famous. You ought to write a book, John. So that's Paul, y'all. When you read 21 through 28, when you read the life of Paul, it's like, I've got something to say, and you know what? It's my story. And for all of those of you who want good, hard-hitting truth, I want to tell you, the way Paul delivers it here in the book of Acts is he's telling his story because his story matters and your story matters when it intersects with that story right there. Okay, church, amen? Now, where am I here? I want to say something about this suffering thing because we've talked about this pattern that happens in the book of Acts. Success and suffering go together. And I want to remind us that Jesus himself knew this was going to happen and actually prepared his disciples. He said one time to them, listen, as you go out and you start telling about how my story intersected, your story blew up, your story put your story back together, changed your story, that Jesus said, if you go out there and tell your story, you take that risk, it's going to create some problems. And then he said this amazing thing in Luke chapter 21, verse 13, he said, and this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Do you know what bear witness means? It means I tell you the story of what happened to me when you weren't present, how Jesus connected to it. That's it. That's what we're talking about here, okay? And so I've got one thing. I got one more shot at you here with this act. So I have one thing I want to leave you with today in summarizing Paul in Acts 21 through 28, and it's this. Take a risk and tell your story. Got it? Take a risk and tell your story. As you're writing it, say it with me. Take a risk and tell your story. You know, yesterday, I didn't even know it was happening. I was out riding bikes, and I got to talk to a 30-year-old lady. I was thinking I'm twice as old as her, almost. And you know what? She started telling me her story and what she remembered about church and the Bible and Jesus when she was young. And I started getting to tell her about my story. And we had this great time of just talking about our stories and getting to talk to her about Jesus. I want you to know something. I realize that when I say take a risk and tell your story, some of you are going to make up in your mind that I want you to go out here half-cocked and just say, I'm going to go try something, you know. And that happens sometimes. And later we go, oh, man, I was an idiot. You know, that's not it at all. When I say take a risk and tell your story, it requires something. Preparation, right? I told y'all that I'm going to ride my bike across the country in June, Lord willing. And I want you to know that feels like a risk to me. And the closer I get to it, I have a little countdown timer on my computer. It starts freaking me out. But I want you to know there's a lot of preparation that's happening so that I can have lots of conversations with people about Jesus. And so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to prepare. So I was at a conference, a seminar, a few weeks ago, and I noticed that even my posture was different at the seminar than it's when I'm at church and I'm listening to one person doing all the work from the front and everybody else relaxing. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pretend today, right now, you're at a seminar, your workplace, your employer has paid lots of money for you to be here. So the first thing you gotta do is you gotta have a pen today. Everybody's gonna get a pen. Even if you don't normally use a pen, get one and pretend, okay? So get a pretend because, you know, it's like your employer might come by and see. He told you, you know, get out a pen. Now, here's the second thing I want you to do. Everybody, you're gonna change your posture right now, okay? So everybody, on the count of three, I want you to move loud enough so everybody hears the whole place. Just kind of sit up a little straighter. One, two, three, okay? Shuffle around a little. Wake up. Let's stretch a little. Oh, that was another sermon. Okay, you got it? You with me now? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this outline in your notes. It says, my story without Jesus, how Jesus entered my story, and my story because of Jesus. We're going to look at Paul, and then we're going to look at you, okay? So let me tell you how we get to Acts chapter 22. We get to Acts 22 by Acts 21. Let's go to verse 17 in Acts 21. It says that when Paul and Silas and Luke and others came to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. And on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. Yes, it's happening. The gospel's going to the whole world. We're stoked. There is success. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. Stop right there. You got to understand this. We're talking about small, tight-knit communities, especially among the Jewish people. And what did it say? Thousands have believed. Do you know what this means? That there are people all over who knew Paul and all over who knew what he was preaching. And I'm going to say two things that became really clear in the book of Acts so you don't miss it. One is that Paul was preaching this. The law of Moses is not enough to make you right before God. The law of Moses is not enough to make you right before God. It was very, very offensive to the Jews. And, you know, today I was trying to think of something similar that might be offensive, and it might go like this. I was sharing my story yesterday. I was thinking back, here's how I thought of myself before Jesus. I was a pretty good guy. I didn't kill anybody. I tried to be friends, and I tried everybody to like me. And you know, surely God would let me in. The law of Moses, morality, is not enough to get you right before God, nor is your personal good deeds. It's very offensive, really, to say that today. The other thing that Paul was preaching was this: Gentiles don't need the law of Moses to make them right before God. Gentiles. You know, those people who are criminals and those people who are doing awful things, they don't need the law of Moses to get them right before God. Everybody needs Jesus. And it says, if you go to verse 27, Paul goes from where we were. He's visiting the temple, and when 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia saw him in the temple, and they stirred up the whole crowd, and they laid hands on him. Let me tell you, that wasn't the prayer meeting laid hands on him. That was the grabbing by the scruff of the neck laid hands on him, okay? And they cried out, "Men of Israel, help! This is that cat who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place." And here's what happens. It says, from there, the whole crowd was stirred up. It then says in the very next verse, the whole city was stirred up. Then it says, 2 verses later, that all of Jerusalem was thrown into confusion. There is a problem. A riot has broken out because Paul's got a story and he's sticking to it. He's taking a risk and telling his story. There's this massive riot. A soldier has to grab Paul and take him out of there. He gets out by the skin of his teeth, okay? And you know what Paul says? "Hey, hold on. I'd sure like to talk to the crowd." That brings you to verse 3 of chapter 22. And you know what Paul's going to do? He's going to give them his story without Jesus. It's his story, and he's sticking to it. So I want you to notice some of the things that Paul said in chapter 22, verse 3. He launches into his story. He says, "I'm a Jew." He talks about his nationality. It's not an embarrassment to him, it's the reality. It says, "I was born in Tarsus in Cilicia." Here's what you need to know about that. He was born in an important city, and at this point, he's leveraging it so he gets to tell his story. He says, "I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel," okay? That's my favorite college professor. Not exactly, but close enough. "According to the strict manner of the law of our fathers." That is his college degree, okay? The strict manner of the law of our fathers. You know, I love when I get to tell my story to people and I say, "Hey, I was an electrical engineer," and they look at me, "Really? Neil, were you smart?" I don't know what that's about. He then says this, "Being zealous for God as all of you are this day." Now, I want you to take that. I just want you to hold it right here because that's a really important statement. But let's go back to his telling his story as the high priest and the whole council of witness can bear me witness. They knew what kind of person I was. "From them I received letters to the brothers. I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished." Before Jesus, I had a real problem with the church, okay? That's Paul. Now, all good stories have a point, right? And all the details of Paul's story are important. And I want to tell you, I think there's nothing wasted by God about your story. And Paul shares those details with a certain group of people that day to be able to say this to them at the end of verse 3, "Being zealous for God as all of you are this day." You know what he's saying to them? It's what I was saying when I was riding bikes to the person. I can connect with where you were. And it's part of why God gave you the story he gave you. Here's something else I didn't say first service. Man, I just love second hour because I can just go on and on and on and on. Right, Jeannie? Say amen. Okay. This morning I thought this thought as I was praying. Scott, God has somebody that he wants to talk to through your story, brother. And I know that is both joyful and painful. And Robin, I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, God has someone that he wants to use you in a way that he can use no one else because of the unique details of your story. And you know what I hate, church? I hate the thought. Yesterday in my conversation, we talked about this is a gal who never goes to church. Why do people have to be something different when they come to church than when they're out riding their bike? And I said, because nobody wants to see me in spandex, right, Teal? Awkward moment, whoa. That is too funny. I'm glad we make two recordings of this thing. So here's what we're gonna do right now. You're gonna take a moment to think about my story without Jesus. Here's how we're gonna work it. I'm gonna give you some questions. I wanna go over them for a second, and you're gonna get 1 minute and 37 seconds to get as many things down as you can. If one of the questions works for you, great. If that doesn't, just go to the next question. But even if you think, you know, I've done this kind of thing before, I want you to do it again as your act of worship today, okay? So let's look at these questions I have here. What did my life revolve around? This is my story without Jesus. What made me feel safe, loved, and alive? How did these things begin to let me down? Or what were my life goals and aspirations? Were they enough? Like I wanted to be in the C-suite, or I wanted to marry a certain person. How secure were my relationships? What did they depend on? Like being funny or playing sports, that kind of thing. Who did I believe I was? Who did other people believe I was? Where was I on my spiritual journey? Okay, so you guys, you ready? Okay, go. Minute and 37 seconds. I want you to get at least 5 things, okay? Because we're preparing to take risk and tell our story. Okay, everybody get at least 5 things down. I'm glad to see people still writing. My story without Jesus. Now, how Jesus entered my story. I want to look at Paul's story again. And it's probably familiar to you because actually this story gets told 3 times. And it's Paul's story and he's sticking to it, right? So Paul says in chapter 22, verse 6, as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light, circle that if you like to circle things in your Bible, please write that, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Remember, to persecute the church of Jesus is to persecute Jesus himself. Watch how you treat his church. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? The Lord said to me, rise, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, there's the word again, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. Now, verse 12, he says, one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who live there. Listen, you guys, some of you know him. You can believe him. Came to me and standing by me said to me, brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. Now, I just, let's be clear on this, especially when I say your unique story matters, which means Jesus entered your life, engaged with you, met you in a unique way. When you go through the Bible, you see all these stories, right, of people. Like a woman at a well, and you know how Jesus connected with her? He told her her life. Having met her for the first time. And there's a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus at the night in night because he's sneaking around and he's afraid. And Jesus gets into this theological, philosophical discussion with him and says, you must be born again. And that's how he gets into Nicodemus's life. And there's a man who was born blind, and I love this story. The man who was born blind, Jesus transforms his life by being his healer and opens his eyes. And remember, y'all, this is why your story is so important. Remember when they were questioning him, hey, everybody knows Jesus is a sinner. And the guy says, look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but here's what I can tell you about my story. I was blind, but now I see. I love that. Paul, what does he get? I told you to circle it. A light. Paul gets a light. Why does Paul get a light? Why? Because Paul was in the darkness. Remember, quick review, I said several weeks ago, Paul was both a Pharisee and a terrorist. He was a Pharisee. Now, when I say he was a Pharisee, let me remind us that he was the good guy during those days, okay? He was the keeper of the law. He loved God. He wanted to protect the nation. And in his belief in the one true God, somehow he decided he was right. And in his self-rightness, he had a lot of anger. And it happens, right? A lot of people who are really, 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 really right have a lot of anger, correct? And it's a very dark place. It's a very dark place when out of your religion, you are killing people. Or at least leading the charge. It's why Saul needed Jesus to come in as light that would ultimately blind him for a time so that he would see in a physical way his spiritual reality, okay? So I want you to think about this for you. How Jesus entered your story. I just have two questions under this. And the questions, go ahead, put those up, guys. The questions are, when and how did I hear the story of Jesus? When and why did my perspective change toward Jesus? Now listen, if you can't remember an exact date, that gets to be a debate, that's okay. You just, as you've been going in life, when and how did my perspective change toward Jesus? And if you're here today and you're still in the process, I want to encourage you just to write down what you think about Jesus today. It's helpful to actually write it down. So go ahead, you got a minute and 37 seconds. Because we know that preparation helps us to take a risk to do the thing we've been called to do, to tell our story. my story without Jesus, how Jesus entered my story, and lastly, my story because of Jesus. Now, y'all, the apostle, we could spend 4 hours talking about the Apostle Paul's story because of Jesus. And one of the things I just want to stick in your brain today for when you go back later and read some of those great theological books like Ephesians and Romans and Galatians, and our tendency is to kind of put them on the sterile shelf. Please hear me say that when Paul was even writing those books, it was coming out of a personal experience with Jesus. That when Paul said things like this, the Spirit is deep in our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. He's talking about an experience that apparently he had and that we can have of having this sense that God really is my daddy who loves me and cares for me and always will do what is right and good. You know, when Paul said in Romans 7, I don't do the things that I want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do. Praise be to God for Jesus Christ. His theology is coming out of his real life experience. Here's what Paul chooses to talk about in this instance when he is talking to Jewish people, verse 17. He says, oh, let me tell you this part of the story. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance. And I saw Jesus saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly because they will not accept your testimony about me since we're having awkward moments here this morning. That, I imagine, was kind of an awkward moment because he's talking about how Jewish people treated him and his audience is who? Jewish people, okay? He says, God said to me, they won't accept my story. And Paul apparently at that time was a little bit incredulous because he said in verse 19, Lord, they know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. They can't deny that. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. Now, watch what he says right in front of those Jewish people. So Jesus said to me, go, for I'll send you far away to the Gentiles. You know, it's interesting to me that Saul, who's Paul, brings up his past story. He mentions this thing again about the Stephen sitting there. Yeah, kill that dude. That dude was somebody's child, right? And it's interesting to me that when you read Paul in Corinthians, he says stuff like this. I'm the least of the apostles. I don't think he was bragging there. I'm the least of the apostles. I persecuted the church of God worse than anybody else. I don't think he was thinking about that, remembering it fondly. And I do believe there is something here today that will keep some people here today from being able to write down, for being willing to write down their story. And it's this, shame. It might be because you don't like how your story's still turning out. And I actually had that discussion too between the services. And I'm going to ask you to do something if that's you. I'm going to ask you to make a declaration over yourself of truth every day. It's a declaration that I've been making every day this year. And I actually have a little notebook where I put a check to make sure I do it. The declaration goes like this. I reject shame and regret believing God uses all of my story. Did you get it? Some of you need to write this down right now. I'm going to say it again. I reject shame and regret believing God uses all of my story. Do you need to hear it one more time? I reject shame and regret, believing God uses all of my story. And whenever I have these little declarations, I have a verse attached to them because I'm not just trying to make up stuff. And the verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7 that says this, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light, that's Paul, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You actually carry a great gift that's part of your story, that the light of God, the face of Jesus shining in your heart. But we have this treasure, we carry it in jars of clay. That means our stories sometimes feel really weak and broken and cracked. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing greatness of the power belongs to who? Belongs to God and not us. Do you know what? There is a reason that your story is not perfect today. That God is leveraging that to show off his glory. It's a hard, hard hammer to my pride. Ouch. But it's also a soothing comfort to my soul. I reject shame and regret, believing God uses all of my story. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk right now my story because of Jesus. I'm going to give you a minute and 37 seconds. And here's the questions. What were some of the initial changes in actions and attitudes because of Jesus? But another four questions, which I'm not going to read, and I'm just going to tell you this about them. They're about your present day. They're about your present day, because church, here's one of the reasons you don't talk to people about Jesus. Here's one of the reasons that keep me from talking to people about Jesus is because I don't have something to say about what Jesus is doing in my life today. 1 Peter 3:15, guys, don't miss this one. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. That means today, to the best of your ability, by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit, you make Jesus number one in your heart today, and it's out of that you tell your story. Got it? It's how Jesus is real to you today. I'm telling you, yesterday I almost did this to somebody, but I didn't because I thought he might just be stuck. After I got done talking to this gal, I was with another guy, and I just was so tempted to pull up next to him with her and say, hey, brother, I want you now to tell her why Jesus is so awesome for you today. Wouldn't that be great if we did that with each other? Okay, go ahead and write. Minute and 37 seconds. Go to verse 22. Remember that Paul said to Jews. God said, leave them and go to the Gentiles. He's just telling his story. That's his story. He's sticking to it. And it says in verse 22, up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And you know what the great thing is? From 23 to 28, Paul keeps taking a risk and telling his story. I want to show you a little text message I got last week. Do I believe that God can do something through me? Is a great question. And the answer is yes. The harder question is, do I want God to do something through me, and do I have the guts to follow it out? Can I tell you what, church? In part, having the guts to follow it out is actually preparing. That's why we're doing what we're doing today, okay? Now, each week, as our worship team comes, and we're going to go to communion here, each week, what I've loved doing is actually telling stories about how you all are doing this, having conversations with Jesus and telling stories. And I wanted to tell you the story this week of Brian Summerall. Y'all, Brian has been going to our church. Brian has worked with Young Life for years and trains people all over the world. And Brian and I have talked a lot about stories. And Brian has a book coming out called Telling Stories. Stories of God's grace through adventures, awkwardness, and a 1981 Monte Carlo. Got to be a cool book, right? That was a sweet car. So I remember in high school, I dreamed of having either that or a 76 Cutlass Supreme. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Brian, I'll tell you how this book got started. Brian, I remember 2 years ago, Christmas Eve, Brian comes up weeping because his best friend Todd had died. That Christmas Eve service, I poured a bag of broken toys on the stage to talk about the brokenness of our world, and that's what Brian's hearing. His best friend Todd had died the day before. Later, the story goes that Todd, it was a donor organ, and he donated his organs, and there's a young kid who's alive because of the donation of his organs, and so Brian writes this story up, and some people say, you ought to write a book. So Brian basically does what we're doing today on steroids. I mean, he just, can I say that in church? Brian writes a whole book about stories just to point to God and ultimately to call people to faith in Jesus. And I want you just to see one little part of an interview that I did with Brian about this. So Brian, I'm thinking about this book that is full of the personal stories of your life going out to lots and lots of people. And today we're saying, take a risk and tell your story. So how does it feel risky for you to put a book out there that's full of your life stories with the purpose of revealing God?
It feels risky in that a lot of these stories, the book starts in my sophomore year in high school in this very particular sophomore English class that I will never forget, and this wonderful teacher, but this incredible cast of characters that was in that class. And kind of how I found my voice in that class and began to speak up and began to write in a unique way that you can read the preface of the book online, I'll tell you where later. But it starts there, but a lot of the characters in this book and my college roommates knew me as a non-Christian and knew me before I met Christ. And I'm the guy who kind of runs our high school reunions with a couple other friends, runs our high school Facebook page, all those kind of things. And so I am in contact with these people a lot, but they know me from before when I was not a Christian. And they are eagerly anticipating this book because they know they're in it. And people they know are in it. But what they don't, I think some of them fully realize who have already pre-bought the book, that each story reveals something about God and in turn goes to scripture and goes to some life applications, and each story ultimately goes to Jesus. And I think they're going to be surprised by that. It feels a little risky, and that it's going out there to all my high school friends and some of my early college friends, and they might be surprised at where each story leads.
It's pretty cool, huh? And I should say, Brian's book's coming out November 30th, and you can get it at tellingstoriesthebook.com. And you know what I think is very interesting about this book? I'm not here to sell his book, okay? But I actually, when I was reading a chapter, it actually gave me some ideas of how I could connect my story with the gospel. So it might be a resource for you, okay? So we're going to go to the table now, and I want to just say again, your story matters, okay? My friend Barney, your story matters, okay? Adrian, your story matters. Ellen, hi. Your story matters, sister. And here's how we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The God of the universe, who created it all, dies for us so that our story might be a story of forever and ever and ever enjoying a feast in the kingdom with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Ushers, would you come and bring the cup and the bread? And as they come, I'll remind you that it's just the cup and the bread come in two little cups stacked on top of each other. Make sure you get them both. So if you have this version that we gave out of the book of Acts, would you turn to the very end? It's page 164. I want you just to turn there as we wrap up our series. And I want you to notice that on page 164, there's some writing, and the next page is what? It's blank, and the page after that is blank. And the page after that is blank also, and then there's one more blank page. You know what that's for? One, to remind us when we close this, the story doesn't end. It continues through you. And what I want to invite you to do is to write your own chapter that I hope starts like this. I, Neil Tomba, am going to take a risk and tell my story to blank this week. I don't care if it's a family member, but that you look at what you wrote and you say, I'm going to continue the story of Jesus, who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. I, Neil Tomba, am going to tell my story to blank this week. Now, may we go in the power of the Holy Spirit and take a risk and tell our stories that have a cross in the middle of it. Amen, church. You're dismissed.